Well, thank you, Leah. That's a good special for us on this particular day. She was singing 2 Chronicles 7:14 there. And let's remember, God is still in charge. I know many of you are discouraged over the election, but God didn't lose his seat. Amen. Got to keep that in mind. And pray that his will be done. I believe every legal vote ought to be counted. I certainly believe every military vote ought to be counted. And sometimes that kind of seems to get overlooked. But in the meantime, God's still in charge of it all. Let's keep that in mind. I want you to go to Mark chapter 15. I know some of you expecting me to say a few things. I probably will. I say, what are they going to be? I don't know. I'm going to wait and listen. And maybe God will say something to us that will help us this morning a little bit. Mark chapter 15. I know we just had an election. I'm not sure who we elected. You say, well, it was Mr. Biden. Well, I'm not sure it was really him. Somebody told me about a cartoon. I didn't get to see it, but I can imagine this would be a good cartoon. Said, had Mr. Biden in a wheelchair. And Ms. Harris was pushing him. And he was saying, we won. The next caption, she pushed him off the cliff. And she said, yes, we won. I'm not sure who we elected. Time will bear it out. And if you don't like that, the same door lets you in, lets you out so easy. I'll even ask the ushers to help you. Mark chapter 15. I want to talk to you on this subject right out of the Bible. I expect you expect me to say something, and I'm going to say it. Right out of the Bible here, when the majority was wrong. Bible says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Did you know that? Amen. Listen, always, might don't always make right. Understand what I'm saying? In Mark 15, and in straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes. And the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered, and he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answer thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them, release the prisoner, in other words. But Pilate answered them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. But the chief priest moved the people. Talk about deception here. The chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why, what evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceeding, crucify him. Now, if you could have been there, here's the scene that you would have seen. You'd have seen a mob rule out in the street that had already been stirred up by the chief priest and the leadership that had already deceived them and began to move them. And you would have seen them out there crying to do that that was wrong, that was an injustice. We all have born with this from the time we were kids on, a hate of unfairness, of injustice. We all have that. And what mob rule is not a democracy. It's not, let me put it this way, it's close to a democracy. America was never started as a democracy. When you look at the flag over here and you understand the pledge said, I pledge to the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Now, you know, there's a big difference in a republic and a democracy. A republic is a responsible representative government. A democracy is a mob that can get the biggest crowd together, whether they know anything or not. Sadly, that's true. The Roman senator Sirio said a democracy could hardly last 200 years. Well, we're counting 230, 44, whatever it is, years. And old Sirio said it can only last until the population discover that they can, out of the common treasury, vote themselves the handout, so to speak, and it will dissolve. We call it socialism today. Real proud of Florida, real proud of South Florida, that the Spanish down there woke up and said, we don't want Cuba. And so they rejected socialism in this particular thing. This mob here that I just read to you about did something wrong. They got to, we said, well, didn't they know better? Yeah, they were deceived. They had their leadership. They had the chief priest moving the people, and the governor himself knew. He argued with them, didn't he? He tried to get out of it. And I guarantee if he had to do it with, he would get out of it. Several months back, I dug into some of the Roman records extra to the Bible. They still are preserved. You can still read some things that was recorded in the government of Rome at the time that this literally took place. And you can read about some of the stuff Pilate had to answer for, and how that Caesar had to be informed about some stuff. And there was a big uproar about it, and how that Pilate feared on this day that we're reading about here that the crowd was going to rebel against him because he knew a cover-up was going on. We read here in the scripture where he says that he knew for envy that they had delivered him. He knew he was not guilty. And yet Pilate knew. Now, the Roman records tried to cover up a little bit, but you can still see it today. What we have is an unusual hate that took place here against Jesus. They didn't love Barabbas. They didn't care for Barabbas. The scripture says they knew he was a murderer, but they hated Jesus. Now, that had to be a satanic hate, folks. I mean, that was something that was unusual. What had he ever done? He'd only caused the crippled to walk and the blind to see and the dead to be raised. What had he done wrong to be so hated for? But they hated him. Scripture says they hated him without a cause. Without a cause. And we see that here in this display. And it produced a satanic hate. Now, if I run that forward a little bit to our day, I want to say we see a satanic hate going on for the things of God. So amazing. For instance, the previous president, and he might still be, he is at the minute anyway, President Trump stood up and defended Israel and moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and that was the right thing to do. And I want to say to you, that's one of the reasons of the big hate that was moved against him. That's a satanic hate. Satan hates Israel. You got several cases in the Bible where Satan vents his anger and his hate against the nation of Israel. And when we run it forward to our day today, we can see that the same thing. There's a movement here in Florida to get a tag saying we stand with Israel. That'll probably get stopped now. But I want to say to you, America is still wise to stand with Israel and can bring the curse of God on. I mean, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord promises over there, he said he'd bless them that bless Israel and curse them that curse Israel. And the truth is, we can fall under that curse real quick if we're not careful. And as we move it forward to our day, I think about this. There was a day in the Old Testament, you read about it in the book of 1 Samuel. You'd read where Samuel was a judge ruling for God, under God. And Samuel began to get old, and the crowd began to say, "You're old, and your sons are not doing like they ought to do." And we look around, and we see all the other nations that have a king, and we want a king also. And so if you remember the story, how they chose Saul. He looked pretty good and started off pretty good. But Samuel began to cry to the Lord. Samuel was saying, they're against me, God. They're tired of me. And you remember what God said to Samuel? He said, "Samuel, they didn't reject you. They rejected me." And I'll say to you today, and even in this rejection in the election, a whole lot of it has to do with godly values that was being upheld. You think about that just a little bit. The fake news and all the methods that was used. And by the way, the fear over the virus. If there had been no virus, there'd have been hardly no contest. Running the greatest economy of any nation, and all of it in a spirit of fear. And when all the dust finally settles, all you folks that have gone nuts over saving your life from the virus, you're going to find out it wasn't near the big booger man they taught. You're going to find out the stats are going to show that the regular flu was killing just as many a few years back as the corona is now. But look what it's done. The fear of it. The fear of it. Help yourself. The fear of it. Now, I'm going to say this crowd knew better, but they made a wrong choice, bad wrong choice here. And they reaped it in the rest of their future. If you read the Bible close, at the crucifixion, they cried out, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And brother, you read history. It has been upon them and their children. You go all the way back to the pogroms coming out of Russia, the fake accusations against the Jews that caused so many of them to be killed. You go all the way back to Hitler and the Holocaust and all of that business, and you'll continually see they cried out in the dungeons and in the prisons and as they were getting ready to go into the ovens in Germany, cried out, "Lord, why?" You see, God was not delivering them again. There was a difference. And I want to say to you, when we get out from under the umbrella of God's blessings, we are not a particular nation that has any guarantee except God's judgment fall on our sins, just like it's fallen on nations in the past. And it will. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So reaping comes. Reaping comes, no doubt about it. Still today, I fear right now for the nation of Israel, because as all that the president done is now going to be undone as fast as they can do it. They're going to tear it apart as fast as they can. And Israel is right in the foresight, right in the gun sight, so to speak, of this thing, even today. So I fear for not only for them, but I fear for the predictions of the Word of God concerning Ezekiel 36 through 38, where the nations are aligning against Israel. And the truth of the matter is, all they need is a little bit of encouragement to attack, and they may have it now. It's going to be an interesting thing how quickly some of these strides that we made in 3 years, going to be undone. Going to be undone. Still, I fear for Israel today. And if it encourages the enemy to move against them, the very fact that America is, and it seems like when you read Ezekiel, that it's almost like we sit by and say, "What are you folks about to do? You're going down there to take a spoil? What are you about to do?" The truth is, we better still stand with Israel. But our leadership has changed. You need to understand that. It has changed. Now, still today, things could change if God wanted to. But I'll put it this way. We're all going to pay a price with our enemies. For instance, I bought gas yesterday at the gas station for $1.89 a gallon. Now, that don't sound cheap to me. I bought it for 25 cents when I was a teenager. But it sounds cheap compared to what we have been and what we are going to be within a little while. Things are going to change. I would not stand up here and tell you they're not. They are. I feel like they're going to change. They're going to change, and you and I are going to know how they change. They're going to change pretty. It's going to get close to us. Now, hear me good. America is still strong. We have checks and balances. So it takes time to undo things. And I'm praying that we'll have enough good folks still elected to fight and buy some time. I'm praying for that. But our enemies are smiling. The Arabs smile every time you pull up to the gas pump and buy their oil. The Chinese that have been taking us to the cleaners are now off the hook. All the corruption that was about to be investigated will not be investigated. Do you understand what I'm saying? And yes, things have changed. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I believe that it has. And those changes are going to get closer to us. For instance, you're going to pay more taxes soon. I hate to see the wall come down because it was working. It was working. I hate to see our Second Amendment gun ownership gone. Now, they can't do it overnight, but it'll move in gradually. Did you hear Mr. Biden in the campaign when they said, you're going to get rid of our guns? He said, bingo. Anybody hear that? Bingo? Yeah, you got it. You hit the nail on the head. That's what he was saying. That's also what his vice president partner said also. You say, well, they didn't really mean it. How come we're so dumb to not believe the enemy is going to do what they said they were going to do? Understand what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you about your guns. And I know I'm preaching to a lot of what the world would call rednecks. Thank God if your neck's red from earning an honest living. But we're talking about the good old boys. We're talking about the four-wheel drive trucks with the used to be the gun over the back seat. We've already lost that, haven't we? Pretty much. But you know what? We're seeing things deteriorate, but they do it a little at a time. They slip in a little at a time. The Bible talks about it's the little foxes that get in and spoil the grapes. They slip in. Now, let me tell you, for instance, okay, what about the Second Amendment? All right, they'll start it this way. To begin with, it'll be your so-called assault weapons. Now, what they call an assault weapon is just an automatic weapon. It could be an automatic .22. All right, we'll ban that. Well, we'll give them that, you think. Now we want to see that the guns, that the rest of the guns you've got, that they're insured. Then we want to see where you've got them at. Are you keeping them safe? And then we want to know if you've got any relatives that's broken the law that might come to your house and have access to your guns. You like that picture I'm painting? That's where you're going. You're going to recognize it for too long if the Lord don't come soon. That's what I'm talking to you about. Changes that's going to get closer to us, much, much closer to us. You know, church-wise, we're meeting here today, and some of you may be uncomfortable out there because we don't all have on masks. We're free. Do it if you want to. Don't do it if you don't want to. Come if you want to. Stay home if you want to. Listen online if you want to. Come look at us if you want to. We're free. We're not going to give up our freedom. We're not going to surrender it. We're going to keep on staying true to the Lord above all the governments of the world that try to rule against us. And so we will feel the pinch. There are states right now in Florida that's not letting churches hold services, California in particular, but others. Are they limiting them to 10 in number and them scattered out? Do you understand a church can't function without being a church? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's part of it. The Bible tells us what to do, to preach the gospel, to send the gospel around the world, and all that. And if we cow down and quit, we've lost our power, we've lost our purpose for living, and Ichabod will be written over it, and we're not going to go down that way. We'll go down fighting to the end, to stand for what God wants us to stand for. Church-wise, permitted to meet, fill out the papers. They do in communist countries, you know. I've been there. Tell what you're going to preach ahead of time. Oh, yeah. File your sermon. Get it accepted. And then make sure you don't deviate from it. Say, is that, yeah, planet Earth right now. That's going on in dictatorship countries. And if they have their way, they'll do that in America. And the message will have to fit in with the globalist message. See, what we are dealing with in America right now is the globalistic plan. What got this president in so much hate trouble, among other things, was he was not a globalist. He wanted to put America first. And in so doing, the hate built up. And the attack came from so many different ways. But the globalism test, my sermons wouldn't pass that test. Right? By the way, the Bible won't pass that test. Because the Bible will tell you all about it. And so, yes, that stuff may be coming, and may be coming quicker than we think. Already they're censoring speech. Now, some of you folks hadn't noticed it too much, but Facebook and Twitter and all the social platforms have decided that they're the ones to say what's true and what's not true. And whether you have permission to say it or don't have permission to say it. Who in the world would have believed that? However, it won't affect me much because I'm not a high-tech fella doing that. But some of you, you're addicted to it, and it's going to hurt you bad. You know? I'm talking to you about stuff you're going to feel before too long that's coming right down the track. I want to say this gang here, this mob here, this majority here, they made a wrong choice. They got deceived. They made a wrong choice. And the biggest thing, biggest mistake they made, they forgot God was still on the throne. And that's still happening today. You know, the leaders were corrupted, the scribes, the priests, and all of them that misled the crowd, including Pilate himself, and all that. They were corrupted together. They forgot God was still pure. Isn't it amazing how we all have a nature to believe if the crowd believes that it must be right? No, 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 no. No. In fact, I don't have time to turn to it, but if you were to go, if you were to write it down, you could go to Psalms 50. Psalms 50, the Lord is talking. He's condemning stealing. He's condemning sin. He's condemning lying. He's condemning that kind of conduct in Psalms 50. And then he makes this statement. He said to this crowd that he's condemning, doing wrong, lying, stealing. Here's what he says to them in Psalms 50. He says, because I was silent, you thought I was altogether such a one as you. Ooh, that's powerful, folks. It's powerful. God said, because I didn't say nothing, and you forgot about me. I'm not intimidated. I'm not going to join you in your sin. I'm not going to join you in your corruption. I'm still God. And just because I'm solid, don't think I don't know about it. Don't think I can't see it. Just because I'm silent, don't think I'm a crook like you are, a fake like you are, a liar like you are. Oh, no. Just because I'm silent, I'm not such a one altogether as you are. You better keep that in mind. God is not intimidated or corrupted. He's still on his throne. I put that in the bulletin today when Isaiah cried because the king had died. He was a good king. And Isaiah was a prophet in the very government of Israel. And it was a sad day when the good king died, and yet God said, all right, look up. Look up, Isaiah. Look up over here. And I looked and saw the Lord in his holy temple on his throne. And his train filled the temple. Isaiah began to say, hey, it's sad down here, but not up there. It's changed down here, but not up there. Amen. Oh, listen. They cried out here, crucify Jesus. And they did crucify him. And they put him in a tomb. And they put the Roman seal on the tomb. They thought their deed was dead and buried until the third day. Oh, yes, the world's like that right now. They thought they might could bury their treachery, bury their deceit, bury their lies. But something happened to the tomb. And the stone was rolled away so the whole world could see. Yes, it's on the third day. Now, I don't count off the hours on it, but I just say this. We're nearing another third day. Symbolically in the scripture. You ever read the portion where Peter said 1,000 years as one day as 1,000 years? That is a theme in the Bible. And prophetic students of the Bible understand that the church age has run about 2,000 years. We're very close, depending on when you count the birth of Christ. And he's going to come back and set up his kingdom. When? On the third day. Third 1,000 years. The millennial kingdom of Christ is coming. You heard the girl singing about a while ago. He is coming and he's going to bring his kingdom. He's going to set it up. Oh, no. The evil does not win. The bad crowd does not win. There was a resurrection morning, and there's going to be a kingdom morning coming very, very soon. I believe for the rapture of the church, you and I could be gone before that. But the truth of the matter is, God wants to see his son sit on the throne. And he's promised to do that. And he will do that. I believe the third day is nearing. You know, the angel rolled the stone away not to let Jesus out. He was already gone. But he rolled it away so the world could see the tomb was empty. Read in Revelation 6 where the scroll of the sky is going to roll back. And they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. Because he's fixing to take over. He's fixing to show who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's coming back. I put in the bulletin, some of you might not know what I was talking about, I didn't have space to write. I put in the bulletin about an author that had been, Charles Dickens, I guess, that wrote The Tale of Two Cities, a terrible time in history at the time of the French Revolution. And he started off the book saying something like this. It was the best of times and the worst of times. Folks, I believe right now we're living in the best of times and the worst of times. The best of times and the worst of times. Listen, as the world gets worse, the more we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the best. Oh, it's a good time to be alive right now because the gospel is still being preached and souls can still be saved. If you remember the theme of that book, The Tale of the Two Cities, there was a cave of a lawyer, kind of a sorry guy. And ultimately, in the end of his love of the other man's wife, which he never apparently had an affair so-called with, he went into the prison because he looked like the man that was imprisoned, changed clothes with him, let him go out and go to his wife, and he went to the guillotine. Oh, it's a book worth reading. It's a famous fiction book, but it's worth reading. But what a lot of folks didn't realize, I read it in school, probably junior high. You know what I didn't know then? I didn't know he was telling me about the gospel, but he was. Romans chapter 5, verse 7, verse 8. Peradventure for a good man would one even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as he went in and changed clothes and let the other man escape, and he went to the guillotine in his place, Jesus went to the cross in my place and your place. He exchanged his robe of righteousness and took on my filthy rags of sin. Yes, that I could go free. All the worst of times, yes, the best of times. Worst of times right now, we're not happy to see. We wouldn't have done it, but God is still God. And the best of times, we're going to preach the gospel till Jesus comes. And you can still get saved if you're here today and you're not saved and never received Jesus. If you're in radio land listening to me right now, it's the best of times. You can hear it. I don't know when will be the last time you'll be able to hear it. I think things could shut down a lot faster than you think. I say to you, take advantage now. Take advantage now of the opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. That old lawyer that changed clothes with the other man as he was at the guillotine said something like this. And I haven't read the book so many years. He said something like this: the thing I do in my death is far better than anything I ever did in my life. Now, that's a paraphrase by me. I want to tell you the best thing you can do in this life, ensure that you've got eternal life by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not crying this morning. I'm not whining this morning. I'm just telling you that time is ticking off. And while it is the worst of times in some ways, it's the best of times that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If there was ever a time that the headlines and the news and the events of the day ought to make you take inventory on your spiritual condition, it should be right now. Right now. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Do you know Jesus? You're a winner. He's not corrupted. He's not cheating. He'll save you if you'll come to him and call on him. The Bible says whosoever will may come. You can come this morning. You can come and be sure when you leave here. If you died today, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you do that this morning? Would you? Let's bow our heads. Let's stand quietly at our feet. Father, we come to you in a time when if we just looked around us, we could be discouraged. But Father, we're looking up and we're seeing your throne and seeing you and seeing your will. And Father, I thank you that the gospel door is still open. It can still be preached. Souls can still be saved. And I thank you, Father, that it'll happen right on until the trumpet sounds. Father, you've got a people down here that'll not be cowed down to quit very easy. Help us, Lord, to stand whatever the price we pay. But Father, we're so glad this morning to tell people listening in the radio land or here in the building that Jesus still wants them to come. That he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. I pray you'd bless the invitation here this morning. Blessing our junior churches and bless as the gospel goes out over the air, that souls would be saved. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll meet you here at the front. You'll come receive Christ. Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood.
Will you come? Will you come? How about you this morning?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as
how about you this morning? How about you?
And waiting not. Oh.
to give everybody every opportunity to be saved. Things will not always go on as we've discovered in the last few days. Things can change, and they can change for the worse quickly. We believe that may have happened, but we still trust God with it. I know some things are going to be undone. I know more babies are going to be aborted now. That's terrible. I know some good things that had happened will be undone. But our job is keep on keeping on doing what we know is right, amen? Reaching everybody we can. And as Leah was singing a while ago, we don't quit praying. Now is the time to increase praying. Amen. Nothing too hard for God. He can do as He wants to do. I want to be standing with Him, not against Him. One of the things I think church-wise we'll see undone for long, as soon as President Trump got in, he killed the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment was passed in 1954 to shut preachers up politically, to stop them from saying anything. And a lot of preachers cowed to it. Not everybody did, but many did. Soon as Trump got in, he went and signed with the executive order and nullified that. Well, all it takes is the next man with an executive order to change it back. Then that makes me a crime speaker this morning. Makes me a criminal when I get up without fear or favor to say what's right or wrong. Yeah, we'll notice the difference. I'm not soft-pedaling that at all. But it's not over till God says it is. Amen. Amen.